asks the question, what is unique about Purim, about the redemption and the salvation of Purim? I'd like to study with you an essay of the Rosh Yeshiva, the contemporary Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron Yeshiva here in Yerushalayim, Rabbi David Cohen. And in his work, Yemei HaPurim, Maimar Vav, Tana Rabbanan, he begins with the Braisa quoted in the Gemara Megillah, Daf Yudalid. The Braisa records that there were 48 Nevi'im and 7 Nevi'os that prophesied in Israel. They never subtracted or added anything from the Mitzvah HaTorah until they got to Mikra Megillah. And why in the case of Mikra Megillah did they break the rule? Did they break down the walls and decide to be Mechadish and to Mesaken a new Mitzvah? There must have been some drasha that gave them, that established the green light, the license for them to do so. My Darush, what is that drasha? And the Gemara goes on to say, in the name of Rishu ben Karcha, the Kal V'chomer, the famous Kal V'chomer, Bnei Yisrael recited Shira on the redemption from Avdus, from servitude to Mitzrayim. And if there's Shira, there's a song of praise and gratitude to Hashem, when Hashem saves the people from servitude, from slavery to Chirus, to freedom, how much more so in the case of Mimisa L'chaim, when the decree of Haman was to annihilate the Jewish people and Hashem saved them. Certainly we have a responsibility, an obligation to respond with Shira. And the Gemara asks the obvious question, well, if that be the case, where do we find Shira on Purim? Every other Moed has its Hallel. The Braisa in Masechet Erechin delineates all the days during the course of the year where we recite Hallel, and guess what? Purim is not on the list. Hanukkah, yes, but Purim, no. Ihachi Hal Nami Nema. And the Gemara offers various answers. Akati Avdi Dachashverish Anan. This was a Nes in Chutz Laretz. And finally, the Gemara answers in the name of Rav Nachman, Kriyasa Zui Hilula. The reading of the Megillah itself is a Kiyum of Hallel. We don't need a separate Hallel. We can recite an indirect Hallel by reading the Megillah. We fulfill the mitzvah of Hallel. And in the past, we've seen Rashi on Daf Yudalid, L'mayin Yizamech Chavav Lo'idom, Hashem Elokai Li'olam Odeka. Rashi says that the Divrei Kilus, we gather the people and publicly declare God's greatness by reading the Megillah. The Shari Tshuva, which is published in the standard Mishneh Berurahs in Aruch Chaim Tofresh Tzadi Gimel, quotes the Birchei Yosef, the Chidah, in the name of the Meiri, that because of the Gemara's reasoning that the Kriya of Megillas Esther itself is a kium, is a substitute for reciting the formal Hallel, if that be the case, someone who doesn't have a Megillah and he cannot recite and fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah during Purim, he's obligated in the mitzvah of Hallel. Because again, we only substitute the Megillah for Hallel as a kiyum of Hallel. But if there's no Megillah, then we go back to square one and we need to recite Hallel. The Birkei Yosef himself writes that since Rava was the one who gave this reasoning, the first answer, that Akati Avdi Dachashverish Anan, then according to Rava, there really is no Chiyuv Hallel. And if we paskin like Rava, he's called a Basra, then we do not have a Chiyuv Hallel. This would not reflect the opinion of the Meiri that we should be reciting Hallel on Purim, just that we have a substitute. And the Gemara has, there are different Girsos in the Gemara, but according to the Girsa, the Rif, the Rosh, and the Ran, it's Maskif La Rava. And Rava himself asks a question, and he himself has another opinion which was never subject to any argument, any controversy. And if the Poskim never wrote a word about reciting Hallel on Purim. So the Birkei Yosef wants to understand, why is it, how could it be, that this halacha, quoted by the Meiri, does not reflect it anywhere in Hilchas Megillah, in any of the Poskim, the Gedolei Rishonim, down to the Shulchan Aruch and Bechlal. Where do we see some sort of a sifkata on a paragraph that says he who doesn't have a Megillah on Purim is obligated to read Hallel? The answer must be that we don't paskin that Kriyas Zui Lula and that Kriyas HaMegillah is the substitute and fulfillment of the Chiyuv Hallel. No, there is no Chiyuv Hallel. Chachamim established Purim without a Chiyuv Hallel, and that reflects the opinion of Rava Akati Avdei Dachashverish Anan. However, the Rambam himself in Perek Gimel Hilchos Chanukah actually codifies the opinion of Rav Nachman that Kriyas HaMegillah is a Kiyum Hallel. It's a substitute for Hallel. And it's based on earlier sources in the Bahag, which would lead us to the conclusion that Halach Lamaisa Kriyas Zui Lua. And then the question becomes, why don't we find somewhere in the Rambam or elsewhere that he who doesn't have a Megillah should be reading Hallel? And the answer that is suggested here in Yemei HaPurim is, and I'll read to you the pertinent line, is Leonias Daiti, this is coming from the Shari Tshuva, the Leonias Daiti, the Ikar Kavonas Hashas al Ikar Atakona, of al Achrei Shalom Niskan Halal de Purim Mishum de Kriyasu Ilula, Memela Ein Makom Likros Halal Kem Shal Tiknu Chazal Yom Rayom. In other words, Chazal had to actively institute and formalize a takana that would obligate us in Halal. But since on a regular basis we have Kriyas HaMegillah as a substitute for Kiyum Halal, we find a sort of gap here, almost a vacuum, and Chazal never went that step further to make a takana of Chiyuv Halel. So even though conceptually there should be a Chiyuv Halel, but since in most situations, 99.9, we have no obligation of Halel because we've already fulfilled that obligation through Kriyas HaMegillah, Chazal never actively, B'kum Vaseh, went that extra step to be Mesakin Halel on Purim. What comes out of this Shari Tshuva is that Lamais, if you don't have a Megillah, you will not read Hallel. Even though the reason for not reciting Hallel on a regular Purim is because Kriyas Zu Megillah, nevertheless there was no takana to recite Hallel, but rather just to read the Megillah. And the rational mind would find this very curious, to say the least. Just because Kriyas Zui Hilula and Kriyas HaMegillah is a Kiyum Halel, therefore the Chiyum of Halel should be removed? Halel is a general Chiyum. There was no need for the Chachamim B'kum Vaseh to establish a separate Takana of Chiyum Halel on Purim because they made a general Takana that Halel should be recited as a response to any Tzara, any catastrophe, any impending disaster. When we, Klal Yisrael, were saved and redeemed from that impending doom. Now, it's true that on Purim, there was a takana of Chazal to read the Megillah, but why would they have established that takana in such a way that it should undermine and nullify the obligation of Hallel, which should apply whenever there's a tzara, whenever Klal Yisrael achieves salvation and divine protection from an impending sakon, an impending tzara? And therefore, since Chazal added Megillah as takana of Kriyas Zui Lula, then logically, the halach itself is operating within the framework of a chiyuv. The premise here of Kriyas Zui Lula is the chiyuv Hallel. There's no need to establish a chiyuv Hallel in an active sense, and therefore, when he could substitute for Hallel with Megillah, fine. But if he has no Megillah, then we're back to square one. There is an inherent chiyuv Hallel in Purim, and therefore he should have to recite Hallel. Again, when he can take advantage, if Kriyas HaMegillah is accessible to him, he'll implement the Kriya, and thereby in that way, in that method, fulfill his Chiyuv Hallel. But if he doesn't have that Megillah to fulfill his Chiyuv Hallel, we should go back to the original Chiyuv. So let's just summarize where we're standing. We're really standing in the dark. We're really perplexed. Because in Poskim, Lahalach, the Me'iri is not really accepted. And the premise is there's no Hallel on Purim, period. Even if there's no Megillah. And we don't understand why. Let's begin our analysis with the famous sugya in Shabbos Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis regarding someone who recites Hallel not on specific days, but on any day, or call it on every day. And the Gemara says, Akori Hal B'chol Yom, you would have thought, wow, this guy is on a high level. He's thanking Hashem on a regular basis. Every day he wakes up and he says, Hal, he's great. And the Gemara says, Hareze Mecharef Umegadef. Very, very famous statement in Chazal, that to recite Hal on a regular basis, on a daily basis, is considered Chiruf V'giduf. It's blasphemy. And the question begs itself, why? What's terrible? It sounds like a great thing. And the Marsha explains the following. Hallel was established on very specific days. Those days commemorate tremendous miracles when the might and the power of Almighty God was publicized. That when people could point and see clearly that God is the omnipotent God who has power as control over nature. He created nature and he could change nature. It's like silly putty. It's like clay in the hands of a potter. Hashem created Teva and he changes Teva. And on those specific days when Hashem blatantly and explicitly change nature in a miraculous way, that's when we recite Hallel. Somebody on the other end who recites Hallel on a daily basis, when he gets to the days that are uniquely miraculous with supernatural changes of nature, that the Hallel will be meaningless. Those are days when through Hallel, man declares publicly the greatness of Hashem, God's providence, His intervention, His control and sovereign rulership and dominion over nature. Now you said Hallel on every day. What's different about the Hallel on those days? Where's the pirsum? Where's the publicity that God changes nature? That God controls nature? And therefore, by reciting Hallel on a daily basis and undermining the special, unique meaning of Hallel on those special days, he's a mecharef and a megadef. He is implying that God, Chalila, doesn't have the interest or maybe even the ability to alter nature. That's the mecharef and the megadef. A beautiful presentation of the Marsha, as usual, in the Agadas, Chiddush Agadas, very insightful. But we have to ask one question. The Gemara says in Megillah that, as we saw at the outset on Daf Yudalid, that basically Purim generates a Chiyuv Hallel. Again, we can fulfill that Chiyuv Hallel through Kriyas HaMegillah. And the question arises, why the very premise of the Gemara that the salvation of Purim engenders a Chiyuv Hallel is very strange according to the Marsha, because the Marsha is telling us that a Hallel is uniquely and singularly left for certain days, exclusively those days, which are days of miracles, days in which God clearly and explicitly changes, alters the laws of nature, and Purim doesn't fit the bill. Because as we all know, Purim is not an explicit revelation of the miracles of God altering and subjugating, if you will, the natural universe and its laws. No, Purim is all within the framework of natural law. Every single event in the Megillah can be explained naturally without any problem. You know, we're not dealing with Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Eser Makis. We're not dealing with Anani Akavid here. We're not dealing with Hanukkah when the Nair lasts for 8 days. We're not dealing with any change in Teva. Everything, every individual occurrence and the whole picture of the Nes of Purim can be explained rationally. It's not a Nes Michutz L'Derech HaTeva. So why should there be a Chiyuv Hal? And that's the question that we have to raise within the framework of the Marshan, his understanding of Hallel. Hallel is related to a Nes of Shinei HaTeva. It teaches us that God is above nature and can control nature. But clearly Purim doesn't fit that description. It's not a Nes of Shinei HaTeva. On the contrary, the Shu of Purim is Nistar. It's completely hidden and veiled by the natural order. So we want to understand what is the underlying premise of the Gemara Megillah Yudalid that Purim indeed is a day of Hallel. And in order to understand this, we would like to take a look at a pirush, an insight of the son of the Gra. And this interpretation of the pasuk asapra shmecha la'achi betoch kol alecha lo eyeh kofui tova. We have to work very hard and be absolutely certain that we are not ingrates. V'lo omar chas v'sholom ki kochi v'otzem sichli asali atzola zu aleihem, that our salvation came through our ingenious methods of protecting ourselves, but rather ki ani afarsem v'agalo lehem advarim kmo sha'ovru, I will publicize and reveal and explain whatever happened, be open in a way, sheyiru, and then be clear to everyone, she efshar litlo zeh elarak b'shimcha gadol amyuchad hayadu b'shem havaya. There is one name of God which reflects the God of creation, the God who created nature and therefore can alter nature. That's the Yud Kei Vav Kei. And Asapra Shmecha means I will declare publicly and teach the Yud Kei Vav Kei, and how? By publicizing that things that happened couldn't have just happened by happenstance, accidentally, but rather they happened as a result of Shimcha Gadol HaMiuchad, of the name, the great holy name of Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei, where God controls nature. And we can really understand this presentation in the light of the Gaon. The Gaon himself, in many different places, writes that's what's unique about the miracle of Purim. It was a miracle that transpired at the time of exile, at a time of Hester Panim. Right? You remember Esther and Ator Minayin, Haster, Haster, Sponai, God conceals his countenance. It's not obvious that God is available to protect and to intervene on behalf of his people. But comes along the Nes of Purim, Dafka during the time of exile, Dafka during the time of Hester upon him, and tells us that Hashem is there even in the Hester, even in the concealed way. That is the great miracle of Purim. That makes Purim unique. It's up there on top. Because the miracle of Purim is hidden, is concealed within the natural law of the universe. That's why the name Yud Kei Vav Kei does not appear in Megillas Esther. Because that name of Hashem really indicates that God controls miraculously the laws of nature and alters them. But nothing of that sort happens in Purim. Purim is purely 100% a Nes Nistar, is concealed within all the events of Teva of nature. And therefore the name of Hashem doesn't appear. And if that be the case, we begin to understand that the great Yeshua, the salvation of Purim, which makes it so, it supersedes and exceeds all the other miracles, is because we, through Purim, reveal the great name of Hashem, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, even in the Hester, even when it's concealed. We will study and contemplate the entire chain of events, connect them from beginning to end, and clearly demonstrate that nothing here is happenstance, that everything that happens is a result of Shema Miuchad, of the Yud Kei Vav Kei. And if that be the case, if the great salvation of Purim reveals the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei, by demonstrating that there is a hanhaga, there is a way in which God controls the happenings of the universe in a way that's above nature, if that be the case, then you're dealing with a hanhaga that is above nature, hanhaga of Yud Kei Vav Kei, when we sew together, weave together all the different episodes of the Megillah, and we realize and we demonstrate that this great salvation is in truth on hanhaga of Nes L'malam Min HaTeva, that God is pulling the strings above, and that if nature would have taken its course, there would not be a Yeshua, but Chas V'Shalom, the opposite, the catastrophe. If we're saying that by studying and revealing the underlying inherent miracle of Purim, we are raising the banner of Yud Kei Vav Kei, of Hanhaga above the Teva, then we begin to understand that Purim really should generate Hallel. And again, let's just emphasize the way this singular Hanhaga, or singular miracle of Purim works. We speak about Shmo HaGadol HaMiuchad, the great holy name that indicates the ultimate power and the might of Hashem, that's Yud Kei Vav Kei. And again, even though the salvation of Purim was concealed within nature, and at the face of it there are no miracles that are outside the laws of nature, the framework of nature, nevertheless, that's only when we take a look at each individual incident and we isolate every single detail and we relate it or attribute it to nature. But when we look at the entire picture, the whole development of the story, the focus on the individual pinpoint, the individual happenings or events, but rather look at the picture from beginning to end, that's when we reveal that this must be the Shema HaGadol. Because without the Shema HaGadol, without the Yud Kei Vav Kei, there would be no possibility of salvation for the people of Israel. So even though, that's the paradox of Purim, the great redemption of Purim is not golui, it's not revealed, it doesn't appear right there to the eye as Yetzias Mitzrayim does, as a miraculous supernatural event, but that's only when we have a limited, shall I say, myopic view of, or perspective on the story of Purim. When we have a broader view and we reveal the hanhaga of Hashem bringing about the Yeshua through Yud Kei Vav Kei L'mala Min HaTeva, that's a gilui within the concealed Hashem, the Hester Panim, that puts Purim and the Ness of Purim on the highest level. Because on the one hand, every event seems to be sewn in and engendered by Teva, but on the other hand, when we read the story from beginning to the end and we integrate all the different individual events that took place, we reveal the way that God provides for us miraculously in a way that is concealed by nature, but in truth, after we reveal this truth, is above nature. And that's the very sensitive, how should I say, niche of Purim. That on the one hand, all the individual events, if isolated, pinpointed one after the other, are attributable to nature, but on the other hand, the greatness of the miracle of Purim, when we combine and sew together all the different individual events and episodes and draw the entire picture, that's when all of a sudden what reveals itself, what jumps out of the shadows, is God's miraculous intervention changing nature in order to organize and arrange things to guarantee our salvation. And this is what the Gemara means when it says Esther Menator Minayin. The Gemara looks for an allusion to the name Esther. Vanochi Haster Aster Esponai. The entire miracle of Purim is Begeder Hester. And that's why, as we said earlier, the name Avaya doesn't appear, at least not explicitly, in the Megillah. The miracle was Behester, it was concealed. It wasn't obvious to the onlooker, to the spectator, that Hashem is being manig in a way that he's changing the Teva through Yudke Vavke. And that's why the name doesn't appear in the Megillah. It does say Yavo HaMelech V'Haman Hayom. And Chazal say that this is an allusion, not explicit but implicit, to the name Havaya, because the first letter of each of these four words form the name of Yudke Vavke, Yavo HaMelech VeHaman Hayom, Yudke Vavke, and this is all in the Chassidus Shesvarim, the Bnei Yisoschar and others, because within Hester, within the secret, concealed way that Hashem controls the world, the Yeshua of Purim was achieved through, in truth, Yudke Vavke. And that's why there's a remez in that pasuk to Yudke Vavke, Me'al, above Hanhogas HaTeva. But that's only when we integrate all the individual events together and clarify that this Yeshua, this salvation, the redemption of Purim, is above the normal mechanism of Teva. And we can see a very similar idea brought down here in the Yemei Purim in the name of the Nachlas David, in a sefer called Beis David, who writes that Inyan Nes Purim ki hoya me'anisim ha-me'utofim b'simlas hateva. It's a miracle that is clothed, you know, the clothing on the outside that give it its appearance are the clothing of nature. For lo yiru, it's not clear, hachutza, I mean, when we take it on the outside, the nature of the hashgacha and the changing of nature by Hashem. We can only determine this with Rashi Tevos, with other Ramazim in the Megillah, that this is all a Maila min HaTeva, that this is all HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's controlling the situation. And he goes on to tell us that B'Nes Purim, why is Nes Purim unique? Kol anisim nisparseim inyonom v'yitzias ha-teva b'chol ha-aretz b'avur ha-yosam imalus sidre ha-teva kriyas yamsu v'eser makas v'domeim. Omnom, however, anisim anistorim ha-mutofim b'simlas ha-teva hine kol ha-amim lo yovidu b'zes pulas Hashem. In all cases where God operates within the framework of nature and his proactive involvement in this world is concealed by the Simlas HaTeva, then the nations of the world will not comprehend the Pu'ula of Hashem. The only exception to the rule is the miracle of Purim. Even though it is included and can be described in an entire system of Nisim Nistarim, nevertheless, it became absolutely clear and public knowledge, even amongst the Goyim, that Hashem was behind the scenes. That God would change everything from catastrophe to salvation, mikatzah l'katzah, Venafochu, it's the entire transition, the change from one polar extreme to the other. That indicated even in the perception of the spectators, of members of the other nations of the world, that God is behind the scenes changing nature in order to provide salvation for the Jewish people. And it becomes clear from this presentation of the Beis David that what's unique about the miracle of Purim is that when we contemplate the integration of all the details of all the different parts of the story of the Megillah from beginning to end, then we reveal that everything here was Ness. Everything that happened was done, was achieved through divine providence and God's involvement in this world to change the natural procession of the events, in this case of Jewish history. And in a sense, the greatness and the singular nation and the nature and power of the miracle of Purim, and it really teaches something about all the other miracles that are clothed in the Simlas HaTeva. Now, through the Ness of Purim, we begin to realize, hey, we missed the boat. Here in Purim, even the Goyim can recognize the Pirsum HaNes. And shouldn't we therefore recognize the Hashgacha Nisit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanagah Nisit in all the different events that took place throughout the long history of the Jewish people? And therefore, to summarize everything we've been saying, Hisbonenus is the key of keys here. We have to really study and contemplate the miracle of Purim and its unique nature, and reveal that this is a miracle above nature, even if it was clothed in what we called the big day or the simla of Teva. And if that be the case, again, swinging back to our issue about Hallel, we really can establish that the salvation of Purim should engender an obligation to recite Hallel no less, or possibly even more so, than any other miracle that took place. Even if the miracles of Purim were clothed and concealed within the Teva, and there was nothing here that broke, in an obvious way, broke the laws of nature and undermined nature. But nevertheless, once we achieve our goal of integrating all the different parts of the puzzle, and we get to see the whole picture, and the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, we reveal that the Hanhaga behind the scenes, within the framework of nature, is really the Hanhag of Shema Gadol of Yudkei Vavkei above nature. And as we said before, had nature been allowed to take its own course, oy vavoy, who knows what would have happened to us, chas v'shalom. The Yeshua therefore engenders a chiyuv halel no less, or perhaps much more so, than all the other miracles that are blatant and explicitly changing nature, because this Yeshua of Purim reveals the Hanhaga of Shem Havaya in the most profound way, a miracle that's completely concealed, and yet, from the story, as we weave together all the details from beginning to end, we reveal the Hanhaga of Shema Gadol, of the Yudkei Vavkei, above nature, controlling nature, and therefore we have a chiyuv, an obligation, to recite Hallel on Purim. And this is the premise that underlies the sugya in Megillah Daf Yudal that we began with. Why is it that on Purim we don't recite Hallel? There's a pasuk in Tehillim, in chapter Chaf Beis, which is the key chapter for Purim, Yochlu Anovim V'Yizbo Yahalush Hashem Darshav. Yochlu Anovim V'Yizbo Keneged V'Oso So Yimei Mishte Yahalu Hashem Darshav V'Kriyas HaMegillah. The first part of the pasuk is a reflection of the very takana and the chiv pu'ula, the chiv maisa mitzvah on Purim. It's a day of mishteh, and therefore yochlu anovim v'yisbo the humble ones will consume food and be satiated, and then Yahalu Hashem Darshav, they read the Megillah. And Chazal tell us that Kriyasa Zuihilua. And this makes it crystal clear that Hallel recited in the form of Megillas Esther, of Kriyasa Megillah, is a kium of Yahalalu, of Halleluka. And it is indicated by the Pasuk Yahalu Hashem Darshav. Kriyasa Megillah is a kium of Yahalu Hashem Darshav. And this really is perfect in terms, fits beautifully into our presentation, our understanding, that we have to understand that even though the episodes of Purim and the salvation of Purim seem at the surface to be b'derech ha-teva, but nevertheless, Yahalalu Hashem Darshav. Darshav means those who look and analyze below the surface and acknowledge and recognize that the miracle of Purim is above Teva, is Yahalalu Hashem Darshav, because they realize how great, how awesome the miracle of God is and His intervention to protect His people with divine compassion. Then we're ready for the Chi of Hallel, which emerges through the Ness of Purim. And we begin to understand the opinion of the Birki Yosef that Hallel on Purim can be fulfilled in one and only one way. And that is Kriyasa Zoihi Lula. And therefore, the fulfillment of Hallel on Purim is exclusive to the Kriyasa Megillah. If you have no Megillah, there's no Chi of Hallel. And the reason for the Birki Yosef, the logic behind it, even though again the Gemara asks the question, well, what about Hallel? There should be a Chi of Hallel. And that is, in order to really achieve that Madrega of Yahalalu Hashem Darshav, well, we have one very important prerequisite, and that is to read the Megillah. Meaning, at first level, you know, the immediate response to the Yeshua of Purim, as we know it, is there's no Hallel here. Hallel's not appropriate. It's a Ness Shel Derech HaTeva, Shel B'toch HaTeva. It's a Ness Nistar. It's a Nochi Aster, Aster Sponai. There's no room for Hallel. When does the Chi of Hallel emerge? Or what concept, or what experience, if you will engender and grab it and generate the Chi of Hallel? It's only when we study the Hanhaga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by sewing together the various parts and taking all the individual episodes, integrating them into one whole, is something that we do through Kriyas HaMegillah. The greatness and the unique nature of Kriyas HaMegillah is that Kriyas HaMegillah itself is the Kiyum Hallel. Because Kriyas HaMegillah itself represents a tziruf, integrating all the different causes, all the different isolated episodes, in order to clarify and reveal that this salvation of Klal Yisrael is impossible without the koach of Shema Gadol, without Yudkei Vavkei, who's above Teva and controls Teva. However, there's no room for Kriyas HaHallel outside of the framework of Kriyas HaMegillah. Because the Kriya of the Megillah is what reveals that which is concealed, namely that the Yeshua of Purim is in truth above Teva. But we don't know that until we read the Megillah. And therefore there is no room for Kriyas HaHallel without Kriyas HaMegillah. So Kriyas HaMegillah, in a sense, engenders the Chi of Hallel, and at the same time, simultaneously, is a fulfillment of the Chi of Hallel. So on the one hand, we can, in a sense, justify the premise of the Gemara and Daf Yudalid in asking the question, wait a minute, where is Hallel on Purim? And at the same time, we can justify and clarify the Gemara's final conclusion, the Maskonas HaSugya, that Kriyasa Zui Hilula. The Takon of Hallel for other Yomim Tovim was not established with regard to Purim. Why? Because, as we said on the superficial level, before we study the events in depth, what we have is a Nes Shalom but rather betoch gidrei teva. That doesn't qualify for chiyuv halel. But on the other hand, when we give the events of Purim a second look and we analyze them and dig deeper below the surface and reveal that which is concealed, then we reveal the great name of Hashem, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, and we reveal the Hanhag of Shema Gadol and the greatness of Yeshua's Purim, but that's only after we read the Megillah. The Megillah has this magical, unique status and ability to allow us to crack through and break through the surface of concealment and get below the surface to Gilui, to revelation, to reveal the great miracle of Hashem. Now, personally, again, we didn't finish the Yemei HaPurim in his presentation, but I just want to point out that there still is an ambiguity here. We're not totally out of the dark, because the Gemara does postulate, even before it gets to Kriyasa Zui Megillah, that there is, from the get-go, a Chiyuv Halel on Purim. And the Gemara is looking high and low for an explanation and justification why we don't say Halel on Purim. According to the presentation of the Yemei HaPurim, the answer might be up front, you know why there's no Halel on Purim? Because it's a different kind of a miracle. It's Nes Nistar, not Nes Golui. So that's a little bit of a problem. The emphasis here, rather, is on the Maskana. And the final conclusion is that Enochinami, the only way we can achieve a level of transforming a Nes Nistar into a Nes Nigla is through the analysis of the events and the total picture, the Gestalt, which we achieve only after Kriyas HaMegillah. And the Kriyas HaMegillah itself, therefore, is the publicity, is the pirsum, the publication, if you will, of God's great name, in which clearly we reveal that Hashem changed the nature, and that itself is the Kiyum Halel. But there is no Kiyum Halel, says the Birkei Yosef, outside the framework of Kriyas HaMegillah. And here, the Yemei HaPurim quotes a line and a half from the Gra in his commentary on Megillas Esther, and the Gra explains why the halacha requires likros eskula, that there's no skipping with regard to Megillas Esther. Says the Gra, l'chora lama lanu leida betokfo shal Achashverosh. Why is there so much at the beginning of the Megillah about the great power of the king of Achashverosh? We could have cut that out. It doesn't seem to be absolutely critical to the story of the Yeshua. Why is that included in the halacha of Tzarech Likros Eskula? Says the Gaon, b'chol pasuk u'pasuk hu mesaper godol hanes. Every single pasuk in the Megillah embellishes and intensifies the miracle. Even though, says the Gaon, the Nes is best upon him, but yet, even though Hashem is causing every single event through Teva, but the Pasuk is really revealing ultimately the greatness, the awesome miracle of Hashem. And what becomes clear from the Vilna Gaon is that on the one hand, Purim is an Es Nistar. It's Behester Ubehelim. It's not there on the surface. But on the other hand, there's halach of Kriya, of Likros Eskula. And Likros Eskula means to reveal the great miracle, the redemption of Purim, that which is inherent but concealed, the hester and behelim, in all the events that are natural at the surface of it, we have to do an active tziruf, an active project of integration. And when we integrate all the events of Purim together, and we see the whole picture as we discussed earlier, Tzarech Likros is Kula, that only when we read the Megillah Kula with all its details from beginning to the end, omitting nothing, then we reveal that vision, the grasping of the power and the awesome nature of the miracle of Purim. As we saw before in the Nachlas David, Zulas b'nes Purim, unique about this miracle of Purim, Afay Yosef b'chal anisim anistarim, Imkol zen noda v'nisparneis, excuse me, v'nisparseim, Tivo b'chal agoyim. Even the nations of the world observe the great miracle and acknowledge the great miracle of Purim. Al yidei pirte ha-pu'ulos ha-mitztarfim zelo zeh. This is why the reading of Megillas Esther is itself an Amir of Hallel. The salvation of Purim is going to be revealed through the process of Kriyasa Zui Hilula, and that is the Kiyum of Hallel. And perhaps this adds another, you know, sheds another light on the Gemara Megillah Tezayin Amid Beis, Divrei Shalom V'Emes, Omer Rabbi Tanchum, Melamed Shetzricha Sirtut, Kamita Shel Torah. That Megillah, more than any other Sefer in Tanakh, requires Sirtut, like a Ksiva Sefer Torah, because it's Amita Shel Torah. What makes Megillah Esther so unique that the Halach of Sirtut applies to it and it doesn't apply to any other part of the Torah? And the Maharal, in his great work, Or Chadash, on Hanukkah and on Megillah, says that really Megillas Esther, in a sense, is the conduit that brings us to Kol HaTorah Kula. There's like one beeline from Megillas Esther to the entire Torah. And the contents of Megillas Esther really prove to us that the entire Torah is one unit. They cannot be separated into different parts. That's what it means that it needs sirtut. We have to feel that everything is one line, one entity. That's what it means Megillah needs sirtut. Megillah has to be read kula, as we said before, because only when we read the entirety of the Megillah do we reveal the great miracle of the salvation of Purim, by integrating all the different details, and by reading the entire Megillah from beginning to end, then all the details shed a light, because they reveal the great miracle of Purim. And that means, that explains and justifies why Megillah needs Sirtut. And this Sirtut emphasizes the point that everything follows Yosher Echad. Everything is Chativa Achas. Everything is one entity. You cannot separate and cut into pieces the various Ma'oros, the various occurrences that are part and parcel of one entity, of Yechida Achas. And this can only happen, can only be achieved when we integrate all the different events that transpired and reveal the great miracle that is recorded so beautifully in Megillas Esther. The concept of Megillah Tzricha Sirtut symbolically transmits the message that we have to take all the individual details and events recorded in the Megillah and tie them together, unite them as one revelation of one great miracle. And Chazal derived this from the pasuk Divrei Shalom V'Emes. And the emphasis here perhaps is on Emes. The Maral in his Derech Chaim Hanovos tells us that what is unique about Emes is when we tie together all the extremes and integrate them to form one entity that's indivisible. We take the Aleph from the beginning of the Aleph Beis, the Mem, which is the letter in the middle of the Aleph Beis, the Tav, which is the last letter, Emes, Aleph, Mem, Tav. Emes integrates all the extremes to one level or one direction of Yosher, one straight way, one straight path. Emes means being upright. It means Emes connects the Aleph, the Mem, and the Tav, all the events together into one whole. And that's why it needs Sirtut. Sirtut means that straight line that is, as I say, imprinted in the Gilyon, in the Klaf itself, and it's meant to prove and to demonstrate that everything is one Yechida Achas, Chativa Achas, one revelation of Emes. That's the Sirtut of Megillas Esther. And getting back to the pasuk of Asapra Shimcha Lachi, which means that the end of this pasuk of B'toch Kahal Alecha, Ahal Alecha, means that the Sipra Kol Advar Kmo Shehayu, this is the Lashon of the Gaon, is Kmo Shehayu Shemitocham Yizgala She'en Yeshu Azul Mitoch Hanhogas Midas Tuva V'Chazdu B'Shmo Agorol Me'al Hanhogas Ateva. And that's what David HaMelech says, B'toch Kahal Alecha. It means that only through this approach, this mahalach of Asapra Shimcha Lachi, by revealing the miracle of the salvation of Purim, which was implemented or achieved by Shema Gadol, then comes B'toch Kahal Alecha. That's the Hilul for the praise and the gratitude for the salvation of the people of Israel that was established by Chazal with the Mahalach of Kriyasa Zui Lula. There's no room for Halal on the Yeshua's Purim unless it comes through the Kriyasa Megillah. The Kriyasa Megillah is the Asapra Shimcha Lachi, and as a result, is B'toch Kahal Alalecha. There's no place for Halal except for the Kriyas HaMegillah. The Kriyas HaMegillah is Tofeses, the Makom Halal, takes over the Halal, B'toch Kahal Alecha. So let's just summarize everything we've been saying here in this presentation. What comes clear is that according to Maniyama Kriyasa Zui Hilula, the way and the approach of reciting Halal on Purim can only be exclusively by reading the Megillah. Because there's no room for Hallel on Purim until we can reveal the Shema Gadol of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and demonstrate that God is controlling nature and changing nature. When a person comes to recite Hallel for the Shema Gadol, he can only do so through Kriyasa Zui Hilula. Because as we said, the name Avaya is only mentioned in the Megillah benistar, you know, in an allusion. But the Yeshua of Purim, through the Kriyas HaHalel, becomes revealed as the intervention and the protection of Klal Yisrael through the Shem Havaya coming out of the Hester. And that Gilui, that revelation, can only be achieved through the reading of the Megillah when we study and we contemplate all the individual occurrences from the beginning of the Megillah till the end without leaving anything out. Through the Kriyas HaMegillah, we clarify and we show the picture. You know, we elucidate and embellish that it's impossible to attribute these events to anything but the Shema Agadol, the Shema Meyuchad, the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei that controls nature and plays with nature and alters nature the way that Hashkachas Hashem sees fit in order to achieve the Yeshua of Klal Yisrael. And that's Asavra Shimcha Lachi, which means that the Kriyas HaMegillah is considered the Shem HaShem, even though, where is it? It's not there, Begolui. But that's what we do through the Megillah, Asavra Shimcha, and B'toch Kahal Alalecha. It means by being Megal the Shem, by being Megal the Anhogeshmo, a Godel of Yud Kei Vav Kei, through the Kriyas HaMegillah, we come to fulfill the end of the pasuk B'toch Kahal Alalecha, Kriyasa Zuilula. And through the Kriyas HaMegillah, we reveal the Anhoga of the Yud Kei Vav Kei of Shmo HaGadol, that God is above nature, Kriyasa Zuilula. Yiratzon, may it be His will, that we are successful this Purim, which is quickly approaching, to read the Megillah, to understand the Megillah, and to be totally uplifted and inspired by that Gilui Mitocha Hester of the Yeshuas Alokim, so that we can, through the Megillah Hester, appreciate or express our gratitude to Hashem. And that gratitude to Hashem is meant to increase our love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's meant to be a new Kabbalah Satorah, Kimu V'Kiblu. And the essence of Purim is, of course, that Simcha. And that Simcha that we feel by revealing the Yeshua of Hashem as He works through nature, but really above nature, and changing its course through the Shema HaGadol Yud Kei Vav Kei. And we live in a time where we beseech Hashem for Nisim of the sort of Purim by Yomim Ahem B'Zman Hazeh. We desperately need the Yud Kei Vav Kei, the intervention Hashem in history, in the Jewish exposure to so much danger, especially here in Eretz Yisrael. We are so nebuch vulnerable. Ein lanu lishon el avinu shebashamayim. That's what Purim is all about, to reveal that Hashem is there to protect us. It may look somewhat dismal, because on the surface level is Anochi Aster, Aster's Ponai, there's Hester Ponim. Where is Hashem? Where is His divine protection and compassion? But the message of Purim that we must take, that must penetrate into our hearts, is that the Yeshua of Purim is the revelation, the Gilui of Yud Kei Vav Kei, Hashem's control and intervention to protect us and to undermine nature, even though it's going from Hester to Golui. That's the greatness of Kriyas HaMegillah. That's why Kriyas HaMegillah is itself a Kiyum of Hallel, when we publicize and demonstrate that this Ness of Purim, this Yeshua Purim, is even greater than the other Nisim, because it teaches us about the Hashkacha of the Yud Kei Vav Kei, His mastery, His sovereign control and dominion over nature. Yiratzon, may we use this Kriyas HaMegillah this year to reach that understanding on a deeper level of the Nes Nigla, which is really a Nes Nistar of Purim, to reveal the Shema Gadol that reflects the unique, intimate relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. Kein Yiratzon, Amen. I want to take this opportunity to wish everyone a Freilichim Purim, a happy Purim, a meaningful Purim on the deepest level. We should be zochet to destroy our Molech and all our enemies, come back to Eretz Yisrael, rebuild the Beis HaMikdash at the time of the Gula Shleimah, Ben Hera, V'Ameinu, Amen.